Well, hello. You're listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lou, some call me CheatSpeak, and this time around, you know, we love reviews. We love making reviews. We love putting them out there. There's obviously a process behind it, and there's an interesting piece of that process that we started thinking about a little more intently recently. Maybe we can all think about it together. How player skill impacts and influences a person's ability to review a video game. This I thought was really interesting. Let's talk about it. It kind of came from, to set the stage, we have a full video review and some shorts out about Sonic R and taking a look at it on the Sega Saturn. We were not particularly kind to it, especially as far as the controls are concerned. And the main piece of feedback that we got, and you know, from comments and people out there engaging with the material, is skill issue. That's it. And sort of dismissive of the rest of it. So that got me frustrated enough over time to start thinking about where that sort of comment comes from and how those kind of different pieces get put together when you're working on a review, how that's all presented. And this is the product of that. So here we go. One interesting thing to point out, I think, at the top of all of this, before we dive too deep, is video games as a medium and as an art form, right, are unique in how we consume and how we experience them. So you think about other ones that are maybe a little more static in that regard, film, TV, books and literature, even, you know, painting, sculpture, physical art, they are much more universal in that we kind of watch and experience the same thing, the same scenes in the same order for film and TV, not counting like special editions, director's cuts. We're just talking broad strokes here, okay? We read the same text in a book. We look at the same painting that's up on a wall. We see the same thing, and then we interpret it subjectively from there, but we're all sort of working from the same foundation. When playing a video game, people can experience very different things based on a few different things. Their ability to use the mechanics, to succeed in accomplishing the tasks that the game sets out for them, and how they sort of branch around and explore the worlds around it. No two experiences in a video game are likely to be the same. There will always be deviations. There will always be differences in even where the camera's pointing relative to a certain cutscene or a certain event in game. So interpretation of those events and of all those mechanics doesn't always branch off from a common point. That shared foundational experience isn't there. And a lot of that can be influenced by player skill. So like it or not, your ability to play a game and play it well can potentially have an impact on not just the entire experience of the game product, right? But potentially in that sort of critical context, your final review impressions that you write, that you narrate, that you publish in video essay form, whatever it is. How does that stack up? How does that factor in? It controls and dictates to a degree how much of a game's content you can see and ultimately how enjoyable the experience may be. All of that is at least partially defined by your aptitude in a certain title and your ability to play it. Now, that's totally normal. That's fine. That's expected, even in uncritical context where you're sitting on your couch on a Friday night or playing a multiplayer game with your friends. But in critical contexts where you're tackling objectivity and subjectivity and trying to rationalize some viewpoint, reviews make it very different. And so, again, like it or not, how good you are at it and your skill level does influence what's produced there to some degree. Now, the major question from that is this bad? And my argument, this will all be very kind of opiney, right? Very, very on the soapbox, maybe. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's all in sort of the context and the presentation of whatever the opinion or the review or the impressions are. Let me explain. So, similar to how you don't necessarily need to be intimately familiar with a franchise or genre to review it and to provide thoughts and opinions on it, expert-level gameplay, in my opinion, isn't required to review a product, to review a game, as long as the way that you as a reviewer are framing it is honest. And I can speak from experience there. So, for example, I'm very bad at fighting games, more kind of casual leaning ones, let's say like Smash, not like competitive Melee or anything, just playing the game in general. I'm not good at Smash. I'm not good at Street Fighter. I'm not good at Tekken. I'm not good at Mortal Kombat. That's just not my genre. I struggle to play them even competently at times, and it's hard. But taking an honest look at those kinds of things and understanding the context and the mechanics and how all these, you know, disparate elements fit together, there's often value in something like, you know, Street Fighter VI review from a non-fighting game fan's perspective or something like that. So that, yeah, maybe you're not putting the best gameplay out in a recorded video, or you don't have the depth of knowledge or understanding of what happened in, you know, Street Fighter 1-5 from a gameplay perspective, but you're setting those expectations properly up front so viewers or readers know what to expect. Recently, you know, on the podcast, we even talked about something like Baldur's Gate 3, where I've admitted that I'm not an RPG fan. I don't play a ton of RPGs, but there was a lot in Baldur's Gate that I loved and understood. And even though I wasn't particularly good at it, I probably missed a lot of content, the experience was still very fun. So you try to provide the rationale there relative to your own experience in it. And it's all in what you're sort of presenting for that context. My argument, you don't have to be good at a game to understand what it's doing, to determine if it does so well, and to see from an objective or subjective context how it succeeds or fails. You can still have fun and you can still be engaged even if you're struggling with something. It may take you 5-10 times to get through an encounter in Baldur's Gate 3, for example, and I certainly had that experience. But despite the challenges, despite the difficulties, despite my feeling like I wasn't fully leveraging the gameplay systems, I was still having a blast because of all of the rest of that experience that I got to take part in, despite admittedly not being very good and not particularly enjoying that type of genre over time. Again, it's all in how you present it. That gets to a kind of a higher level theory or conversation about reviewing. But again, from my sort of perspective, it's important to sort of separate those two disciplines. A good and proper, honest review of something will separate deficiencies, i.e. this controls poorly, therefore it's bad, from aptitude, i.e. I'm not good at this, therefore it's bad. And because this was kind of the basis for my thought, let's use Sonic R as that example. I have played it for a long time, you know, back when Sonic Gems Collection was new on the GameCube. In my opinion, it is better. It controls more predictably on other platforms where it is simply too sensitive and unwieldy on the Saturn. Now, you can put in a lot of effort to alleviate these issues and work around a game's deficiencies and sort of wring fun out of it, like you're drying out a towel or a sponge or something. But in my opinion, the player shouldn't have to paper over and skirt around issues themselves in order to, quote unquote, find the fun and justify something. A really good example of this, to go back to the Sonic well, is Sonic 06. For the most part, I think it's fairly fair to say that it's a pretty objectively bad game from nearly every angle that you look at it. But there will still be those who say, oh, it's a skill issue. Oh, it's, you know, you're just not playing it right. If you just approach this ramp at this angle and you don't take this path and you take this character and time this to do XYZ, it'll be fine and you'll have a good time. But the argument should be that you shouldn't have to do those kinds of things, right? So it's all about sort of understanding where the game is at from that sort of ease of consumption perspective, if that makes sense. The more hoops you have to jump through to navigate a game's flaws and find the fun in it, I would argue the worse it is to a large degree. And that's where a lot of that sort of review mentality comes in. There is some objectivity in game reviewing, and gameplay can often fit in those, you know, different categories to some degree. Objectively good / functional / enjoyable, or objectively bad / non-functional / unpleasant. But there's wiggle room in between both ends of that spectrum to sort of find some of the nitty-gritty details and convey what is good and why it's good, or what is bad and why it's bad. You know, for example, I don't think anyone would argue that Baldur's Gate 3 has incredibly deep gameplay mechanics, from all of the combat options you have, gear, equipment, potions, spells, all of these different things. It is exceptionally deep, and the completeness with which it realizes those mechanics is pretty much objectively laudable in its depth and in how comprehensive it is. Similarly, to go back to the Sonic R well for a second, you look across the internet and you're going to find a lot of complaints about the controls, where it is overly sensitive and it is difficult to even just go in a straight line, right? To sort of repeat that a little bit. So there is some degree of sort of shared experience in that space. And then it's sort of up to you and up to the viewer or reader to sort of fill in some of those gaps and find where those opinions ultimately land. And what I mean by that is it's kind of a shared responsibility. It's up to the reviewer to contextualize things like their own experience and their own background with a game or a franchise or gameplay mechanics or control quirks. It's up to them to explain what makes them good or bad. Especially from a control perspective, this is commonly tough to convey, since that's something you sort of experience yourself with your own hands, with your own hand-eye coordination, but you kind of have to do it to get that point across. Just saying this sucks, or this doesn't control well, or this looks bad with no explanation is often not a legitimate assessment of a game, even in our context where, you know, it's often very difficult to do in kind of 60 seconds or less short video form. But even in our 4, 5, 6 minute bite-sized reviews, we take a lot of time and effort, at least in my own head, to, and I hope that shows in the content, to explain why something doesn't feel good or something doesn't play well or what the issue is. If there's control problems in a shooter, what is it? Is the aim acceleration off? Does the hit detection feel weird? Is it not responsive enough? Is the performance impacting your ability to, you know, perform certain actions reliably? What about it makes the experience subpar? So just saying this sucks or just saying this doesn't control well isn't enough. You owe it to the people who are watching your review or reading your review, and you owe it to the product, in a sense, to explain and rationalize that opinion. Yeah, you can say, oh, it's awesome. Oh, it's a 10 out of 10. 5 gloobies out of 5. Why? Justify that. Explain it. Make it clear. Make it obvious. Do it over and over again. At the same time, it's also up to the viewer or the reader or whoever it is to understand that context. Simply commenting skill issue and dismissing everything else in a review or in a piece of writing just because they said that, you know, something doesn't control as well as you think it does is pretty juvenile and is a really good way to get whoever you're engaging with to completely dismiss and disregard your opinion or the things that you're trying to say if that's the kind of shallowness with which it's happening, right? Again, it's up to the reviewer to convey that. So if all they say is this doesn't control well, maybe, yeah, you can throw a skill issue in there because they're not justifying it. If, you know, they're laying out that rationale, it makes sense. It kind of checks out. It's well thought out. And you're still commenting, ooh, skill issue. That's, you know, that's where the, you got to pump the brakes a little bit. So it's an interesting thing to think about and something that we're certainly conscious of because we're not good at every game that we review. And you shouldn't only stick to games where you have or where you feel proficient or where you feel skilled. You know, it helps as a reviewer to certainly branch out, expose yourself to different genres. It keeps you, you know, rich and immersed in the gaming space, right? Just sort of getting that variety in there. So it's interesting to navigate that from a content creation perspective and balancing, you know, expressing those opinions with doing so fairly and making sure that you're putting all those pieces together to, you know, put a fully formed, well-reasoned opinion out there, whether it's, you know, on an extreme end of the scale or not. You can fairly rate games, you know, 0.5 gloobie out of 5, 1 gloobie out of 5, 10 out of 10, masterpiece. It's easy to succumb to hyperbole in those instances. But again, the challenge then becomes, how do you rationalize that? How do you justify that 1 gloobie out of 5? So it doesn't just sound like you're trashing the game or that you just had a really bad time with it and you weren't good at it and you're just kind of throwing it to the wolves, right? That's always the interesting part of producing reviews. That's one of the elements that we certainly love about it. And it's something we try to work harder at every time. We hope that comes through. But you know, it's always interesting from the other side of the fence, isn't it? That kind of brings us to the post-show questions this time around, which you can post and talk about in our Discord. Have you seen this happen over time? Have you read reviews where you think the reviewer really didn't do their due diligence in explaining why a game was good or bad? And have you experienced kind of friction in that space yourself? Let us know and tell us your opinion on that as well. How do you think player skill impacts the ability to be objective or subjective when you're looking at a game? Curious topic. Hypocritic.gg is your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.